Good morning. Good morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're our honored guest. My name is Doug Walker. I'm the associate pastor here at Asbury United Methodist Church, and I'm the blessed, most blessed person in the room because I'm God's favorite in here today. Okay, so I'll end up 2017 with a little fib. All right. Now, really, it's we're happy to have you here today. Just a few announcements before we get going this morning. Let's see, the first one up is mark your calendars. On the 13th from 9 till noon, and usually we run just a little bit shorter than that, but your presence at that planning retreat, and it's done here, is so very important, especially if you're just joined this year. Your input, it's these fresh ideas that we really need to kind of take our church down the path, because, you know, everybody in here knows the definition of insanity, and that's expecting something different if you do the same thing over and over and over again. Well, let's do some different stuff in 2018, and so we'll need everybody's input on that, please. Next, I believe we have the Faith Family Dinners is going to be returning on the 17th. Menus are not out yet, but I'm not going to throw out a guarantee, but I don't know how much better they can get from the Falls dinners. Pastor Mary and I both will be teaching some classes, and I'm not sure if we're going to be teaching classes concurrently or if we're going to do them back to back. There's a lot of ideas being thrown around because they don't know which one to go to, things of that nature. They may be offered on different nights. Again, we're just trying to figure that out, and we'll make the announcement over the next couple of weeks exactly how we're going to do that. And the last announcement I think we have up on screen, that yes, Pastor Mary and I and Miss Laura and the rest of the staff and all of the leadership of the church would like to just wish you a very safe, happy, prosperous new year. Now, I would like also to remind you that if members and guests alike, there'll be some pads that are being passed down the row. Would you please fill that out just so that we have a record of your attendance today so we can know who is here and we can just have that record. Now, stand if you would, please. Find somebody that you don't know. Introduce yourself and let's pass the peace of Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we? Good. Did y'all have a good Christmas? Did Santa bring you what you wanted?
Yes, he gave me the top two.
The top two.
Did y'all bring anything for me?
No.
Of course not. Happy New Year to Miss Laura. A candy cane. Well, I have about 5,000 of them sitting in the Starry Night room. So tomorrow is another part of the holidays, which is Happy New Year, that's right, January 1st. And that's usually the day that we get out our calendars, because it's blank, and we go, we are not going to fill it up. And that doesn't usually happen. We fill it up with things that we need to do, with kids' schedules, all of that. And then another part of a new year is making resolutions. You talked about those in Sunday school. Good, good. So what is a resolution? Do what?
It's where you give up something.
You give up something. You try to make something better. Something you're trying to finish before the end of the year. Very good. You were going to say what he said? Of course. Well, and also something you might want to change or a goal. One of my goals is that I want to clean. If y'all see my office.
Yeah.
No, my goal is that I need to clean out the workroom because I have about 30 boxes of Vacation Bible School stuff I need to go through. And 7 of them came this week. So there's a lot of things that I need to do around here that has been lacking. In my own life, find more time for me. So there's a lot of resolutions that I want to do. But what happens when we don't follow through with those resolutions? Because basically, a resolution is like a promise, isn't it? It's a promise to ourselves and maybe a promise to somebody else. And sometimes we get sad when we don't go follow through with those promises, right? But who has made a promise to us?
God.
That's right. He's made a promise to, and he makes a promise to us every single day. 365 days, 24/7. He makes promises to us. And there's a lot of stories in the Bible that talk about the promises that he has given people and the promises that he makes for us. So as we go into 2018, starting tomorrow, and we make those resolutions, and we make those goals and those promises, and they don't follow through, it's okay. Because we know that we at least have one special promise, and that's that God loves us, and that God is going to be with us all the time. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this new year, and we thank you that you are faithful to your promises. And help us be faithful in keeping our promises. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
Please be seated. As we prepare our hearts and minds to go before the Lord, I want to direct your attention to the back of the bulletin. Those people that have called in and asked for specific prayers, just to be added to our prayer list. And you know me, I like calling them by name. Betty Watt, Charlie Ward Sr., Bob McInturf, Dottie Mosley, Dave Mackey, Bob McInturf. I already called Bob's name out. Just tell him I called him out twice, please. He'll like that. Linda Southern on the death of her brother, and Sabrina Henson on the death of her grandmother. As a matter of fact, Sabrina is bringing the message in our second divine service right now. There's another person I would like, please, if you to add, keep in your hearts and during your prayer time, is Chi Dolan. Most of you know Chi is on, and her mother passed away just a few days ago. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our most loving Lord, as we come to the end of this year, we reflect on the blessings we've received, as well as the trials we have gone through. And there are some that are continuing to go through hardships and trying to create a new normal for their lives. In all of our reflection, we can see you right beside us. And in some cases, Lord, carrying us along the way when we've grown too weary to continue. Through the joy and through the sorrow, you are always there with us, just as you have promised. As we look forward to the upcoming year, we ask, Father, that you bring peace to our lives, peace to our land, to this world, in a way that only you can. There will always be struggles in heavenly realms, as your word tells us. So we pray for the angels who are doing battle for us, who are protecting us from evil, an evil who would want nothing more than to drive us far from you. Draw us closer this year to you, Father. May we search for you with earnest, and in doing so, find you like we never have before. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers are coming forward, it's been a blessing year for all of us. It's been a blessing year for this church, and we look forward to 2018. Let's ask Lord to bless our offering this morning. Gracious God, you are our provider and sustainer, and we ask that you bless these tithes and offerings given today. Grant us wisdom to be the stewards we need to be in order to bless others in the same way that you have blessed us. And we ask this in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Seeking truth.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning to you. And let me be the first to wish you a happy new year. You know, over this past Advent season, we have really dug deep down into some scriptures and examined some things in depth, like the heart of Joseph and the ups and downs that he must have really felt because of being engaged and then finding out his betrothed was pregnant and then being visited by an angel and being said, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. And then Mary, after she had a visit from the angel and visited Elizabeth, and then her and Elizabeth danced all over her house, and we had Elizabeth's song that we talked about. And then even Jesus, last Sunday morning, if you were in the divine service, you heard me preach about how Jesus was an outcast even before he was born. Because if you remember, Mary and Joseph traveled into Bethlehem. And the scripture tells us there was no room for them in the inn. Well, where they stayed in the stables was a place that was relegated for people that could not pay for a room in the guest house or for people they didn't want in the guest house. Mary and Joseph were not married. Mary was pregnant. They didn't want them in that house because of the stigma that was on them. Some of the amazing things that we've got to see during this Advent season is angels were pretty busy. In each and every one of the encounters, angels were there. Angels brought messages. And the old joke of the singing angel is, hark, it's Harold. He's singing. And lo, the angel of the Lord, he was the messenger. So there's two new, you know, Harold and lo, and that's a real bad joke. But we've got to even discover that God picked the lowly, the lowest of the low on the occupational rung of the ladder is shepherds. Dirty, stinky, smelly shepherds of sheep and lambs. They got to be the first people to see the Lamb of God that would be the sacrifice for you and me. Normally we look at the backside of our bulletin in here and we miss some of the things. Some of you look at it in the divine worship. But in today, hymns such as Emmanuel, We Three Kings, Yet a King, What Child Is This, Love Came Down at Christmas. In pulpits across this state, in Methodist churches and in other churches, and probably across this nation, many churches are preaching, many pastors are preaching a message about three kings, or the three wise men, or the magi from the east. In all honesty, it took those guys about 18 to 20 months to get from where they were at to see where Jesus not was born, but the scripture tells us they went into the house to see the mother of Jesus and to see Jesus, that he was almost 2 years old. And that's why when the decree went out, that it was a decree to kill all of the male children 2 years old and younger. But that message is traditionally taught on this first Sunday following the celebration of our birth, of the birth of Jesus. But if you're a member here today and you have a visitor sitting beside you, now is the appropriate time to elbow them and just tell him, Doug is not a normal associate pastor. He's a little bit off kilter, so just rest assured it'll be okay in the end. What I want to do today is I want to follow the outcast that Jesus was when he was before he was born. The outcast when he was born. The outcast that, as he lived, and the outcast that he died. The title of today's message is called The Great Cover Up. And if you have your Bibles with you, I will invite you to turn to the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 28. And we're going to be reading just a few verses, verses 11 through 15. And I pray that as I read these words aloud, that you don't hear my voice, that you actually feel the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of you speaking to you. Beginning with chapter 28, verse 11. While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jews to this day. The word of God for the people of God. Well, in the scriptures before today's reading, we can see that Jesus had been crucified, and he had been crucified as an outcast. As an outcast, he was treated as one during his entire life. He had even been crucified between two thieves. And I am wondering where that came from. So is Dennis. We will keep going. Mary Magdalene, whew, boy, it got warm up here real quick. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were on their way to the tomb. And they had spices and ointment that they were going to anoint the body of Jesus. And you only find this in the Gospel of Matthew, that when an angel of the Lord appeared on the stone and rolled the stone away, it says that the guards fell down to the ground and shook as if they were dead. It did not say that they were dead. It said as if. Jesus had been placed in that tomb only a couple of days before. The tomb had been sealed with a large stone, and Roman guards had been placed in front of the tomb. Why? Why? According to the religious elite, publicly, this man was nothing more than a blasphemer and a troublemaker. So again, why? What were the chief priests and the elders afraid of if that's what they truly thought privately as well? And why were the guards Roman? Had collusion taken place between the elders and Roman authorities to make sure the disciples didn't steal the body of Jesus? Ha! There we have it. The first recorded act of political collusion in the Bible. We can't open a paper or turn on the TV and see something about political collusion these days. So here we have it. The first ever recorded act of collusion. Maybe we needed a special counsel appointed back then, but you know. There are some questions that we can only speculate about the true answers. But what we do know is that an angel appeared to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary as they arrived at the tomb. The message to them was to look into the tomb, see the emptiness of the tomb, and that he, being Jesus, had been raised from the dead. The angel told them, "Go, tell the disciples to go to Galilee. He is going ahead of them. He will see them there." The two women left. On their way back, Jesus himself appeared to the women. They fell down and cried and worshiped him and kissed his feet. Jesus also told them, "Go, tell my disciples to go to Galilee. I am going there ahead of them. I will see them there. The women did just as Jesus had instructed them to do. What we also see in the scripture today is the Roman guards heard either most or all of what the women were told, either by the angel or by Jesus himself, because they immediately went into the city, and here's something strange, they went and told the chief priests, not some, but the scripture says, as I read, everything that had happened. What they had heard had alarmed them, the chief priests and elders, so much that they said, we have to devise a plan. And here's the big question. Why would you have to devise a plan about an incident if you don't even believe the incident is true? Think about that one. And why didn't the Roman guards go to the Roman authorities? They were Romans. No. Probably because the Romans didn't think much of the Jews anyway, and they knew that this guy was kind of a rabble-rouser in the first place, that they would have probably crucified those guards for letting some people come and steal the body of Jesus out of the tomb. So they went to the Jewish authorities because they knew that the Jewish leaders would be the ones most affected by the news that they had. But if the chief priests and elders didn't believe the guards, they would have just dismissed the entire story and told the story that the body was stolen. Question after question. However, the guards told a story so convincing that the chief priests and elders knew, they knew it was true. And they knew the guards was telling the truth, and they had to come up with a plan that was so good that it had to stick and it had to be believable. Scripture said that they had gathered a great sum of money, and that sum of money must have been so much as to buy the guards' silence, or maybe it was enough money that those guards could disappear and be gone and start a new life somewhere else. Because remember what I just read? They said that we will tell the governor that if it comes to his ears, that the disciples came while you were asleep and stole the body. If I was a Roman guard, that's not a win-win situation. That's kind of a lose-lose situation. If I told the Romans, I'd be crucified. If now that the Jewish leaders are going to tell the Romans that we fell asleep, now I'm going to be crucified. How far will that money get me? That's exactly what they were thinking. Well, this story that they came up with must have been so convincing to all of the Jewish people that the scripture says that it is still told to the Jews to this day, and it is still believed to this day. And if that is where the story ends, ladies and gentlemen, none of us would be sitting in this church today. But for those of you old enough to remember Paul Harvey, now the rest of the story. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain. It's believed that this is the same mountain that Jesus took Peter, James, and John, the two brothers, the sons of Zebedee, up on the mountainside and was transfigured, and his glory shone around them. And Elijah and Moses appeared by their side. And remember, Peter said, let me build shelters for all three of you. But then Jesus told them, you cannot tell anyone the vision that you have seen today until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Put yourself in Peter, James, and John's position. we can tell now. You can sure bet that it was those three men leading the pack. They knew exactly where Jesus was talking about, and that's where they were heading. We can see that in the Gospel of Matthew, in other Gospels, we read that Jesus appeared to them. But in Matthew's Gospel, the disciples had not seen Jesus as of yet. They're on their way. They get to the mountain. They know where they're going. They start up the mountain. And the Gospel of Matthew tells us that halfway up the mountain, they saw their Lord. They saw Jesus. And they fell down and they worshiped him immediately. Well, if you read on past the last verse that we read, is the Great Commission. And that's what Jesus gives to them, that is that Great Commission. But here are a few things in that last few scriptures that I want you to see here at the close of Matthew's Gospel. What we see in verse 17, it says that some of them doubted when they saw Jesus for the first time in his resurrected body. Let's be honest with each other, me included. There have been some points in our life, maybe just one, maybe more than one, when we're going through something so bad that we have actually doubted the existence of a God. Let's be honest. It's exactly the kind of doubt that some of these disciples had inside of their hearts and inside of their mind. But I can guarantee you, my new truck, that there were three that were not doubting. That was Peter, James, and John. Jesus did not single out those people. He didn't say, you three, go over here, and you eight that are doubting, you go over here. He didn't do that. He told them all to go to all of the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. He also didn't single out those that doubted when he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and baptize. The Great Commission statement. Jesus didn't just grant some of them. He granted all of them authority. And this authority wasn't a transfer of authority from Jesus to them. Scripture tells us that he included them in the same authority that had been granted to him by the Father. They were not recipients of power. These 11 were now partners with Jesus in that power. The same power. There's one more very important thing that I want you to see this morning. When Jesus saw these men from a distance, they immediately bowed down to him and they began to worship him. Those doubters and those who did not believe and those who did believe. Jesus didn't say, all of you come on up here. You three come on up, and you rest of you eight just come on up about halfway. No, Jesus did not do that. Jesus left where he was standing, and he went to where they were worshiping him. Jesus met all 11 where they were. He didn't ask them to come up to where he was. Jesus accepted them, and he gave them all 11, the same commission and the same power. We have a chance to undo the greatest cover-up story that this world has ever known. We've all doubted at some point in our life, and we've all felt unworthy to approach Jesus, whether it's in our prayer time, in our time of need, in our time of praise, We feel unworthy to do that. This is the great news of this message today, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus will not force you to come to Him. Jesus will meet you where you are. And He will ask you to share with Him the power and to tell the greatest story that's ever been told. Just like Miss Laura was telling the young ones this morning, if you make any New Year's resolutions for the year, let's all agree to live out the Asbury mission statement that's found on the front part of the bulletin, and that is being a faith family sharing Christ to meet the needs of all people. Even with all our doubts, all our shortcomings, Jesus will meet us where we are if we're only available to Him. And that's it. That's all it takes. 2017 has been a great year. 2018, 2018, however you want to say it, can be one of the greatest years in the history that this church has ever seen if we make ourselves available to Jesus and bringing people into this faith family. All we have to do is to ask Jesus to meet us where we are and help us share His story. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, would you please bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we just love you for what you have done for us. And yes, your Son came to this earth as an outcast. He was treated as an outcast. He died as an outcast. But Father, you rose him from the grave. You brought him from death back to life as a king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, the power given to those 11 on top of that mountain, Father, that power is available to us. If yet we just believe, not completely, we have our doubts, and we're human, and you know that. Father, we just need to make ourselves available to you, and I ask that we do that this year in whatever way that we can, is because we're all different and we have our parts to play in your body, in your church. Help us to play those parts better. Just be better children of you. And I ask this in your holy Son's name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'd like to know more of this outcast, this Jesus, you can come forward. I'll tell you about him all day long. But if you're shy, like I am, don't laugh. I can talk to you afterwards. If you'd like to come forward and pray, our prayer rows are always open, and I invite you to do so. If you want me to pray with you, it's an honor to do so. Grab me by the hand, and I will pray with you. If you'd like to join this church, join this faith family sharing Christ to meet the needs of all people, come forward, talk to me. I'll just tell you exactly what that means, what that's going to take, and we would love to welcome you to you in the family as we sing.
Thank you.
youth do fantastic this morning. This was a fantastic worship time, and I'm just so happy to have you here. We've got a lot of people traveling. Obviously, we can see that, and we just pray travel mercies on them, that they come back safe next week. And truly, today is a day that we make those New Year's resolutions, and I just ask that you make Asbury part of your New Year's resolution. Get involved. There's so much stuff going on here. Just get involved a little bit. Start small at first. And then just grow and grow and grow and grow. Trust me, that outcast that's our Savior, the King of Kings, He will bless you. The more you get involved, the more you give, the more you will receive. It's in His Word. It's proven. If you would, bow your heads, please, and receive this blessing. Father, I thank You for this group. I thank You for this church. I thank You for all of the blessings that they have poured upon me. And, Father, I pray that I have returned those blessings upon them through Your Word, through the teaching. And, Father, the praise and the glory that has been built here today by this band, the singing. Lord, we know that You were in this place today. Go with them, Lord, please. Keep them safe. Keep them safe from evil. Bring them all back safe here this next week. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's church said, Amen. Amen.